Welcome to the Healthy Doctor Podcast, where we host conversations about physician well-being. I'm Dr. Steve Sartori, Director of the Center for Well-being at the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Well-being encompasses the entire human experience, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual domains of life. On this episode, we will explore this topic with Dr. Tom Edwards, the founder of Hope Health Center in Fairfield, Alabama. Dr. Edwards is a graduate of the University of Miami Medical School and completed his internal medicine residency in Birmingham, Alabama. Thereafter, Tom and his wife Connie served in a medical church planting ministry for 10 years in Ivory Coast, West Africa. In 2000, they returned to Birmingham, where they felt called to minister in the inner city, and in 2003, Tom started Hope Health Center. The vision of Hope Health Center is for the poor, sick, and needy to experience the love and healing of Jesus Christ through whole person care. Tom continues to be involved with medical missions by leading short-term trips to churches in Haiti. Connie, a former math teacher, now serves alongside Tom at Hope Health Center. Tom and Connie have been married since 1975 and have 3 married children and 8 grandchildren. I'm eager to chat with Dr. Tom Edwards. Well, Tom, thank you for joining me on this episode of the Healthy Doctor Podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
What prompted you to become a doctor?
As I grew up in South Florida, I loved skin diving in the ocean, so my plans were to become a marine biologist when I went off to college my freshman year. That was where I was headed with that idea, but after 1 year of classes, I realized I loved science, but I really didn't want to be a scientist. Wanted something more involved with people, and just started looking around at more different careers. And just like I said, I love science. The body was fascinating. I started thinking about a doctor. Never thought about being a doctor before then, but just thought what a challenging career that would be. That's something I think that would bring fulfillment and be a very rewarding career for my whole life. And I always liked having a goal or something I could really devote myself to, and that seemed like a worthy cause and career to commit myself to. So after my freshman year, I became pre-med, and that was my whole focus and where I put all my energy for the next few years getting into medical school and proceeding on with the career.
So then you moved through the educational process, and how would you describe your state of well-being through medical school and residency?
Well, one wonderful thing, I got married 10 days before I started medical school to my wonderful wife, and what a blessing that was. That gave me an anchor and stability for me through med school and residency. She's been through all this with me each step of the way, which has been wonderful, and she's just been a wonderful blessing and partner, and just such an encouragement for me through all of this. In medical school, that's your focus to become a doctor. That was a sacrifice worth making. I just really committed myself. Like I said, I'm very focused and loved committing myself to this cause. And so medical school was hard. I couldn't wait to get in med school, and then, of course, couldn't wait to get out of med school, to become a doctor. And finally, after 4 years down at the University of Miami, I got my MD, and then now we move on to residency. And my residency, I did internal medicine. I knew residency would be very hard, but again, I thought this would be a sacrifice that I'd be willing to make. This is to become the best doctor I can possibly become through the training for the rest of my life. This was for my whole career. And I saw 3 years as a worthy investment that I could do for that, knowing that it would be very hard. So the first year, the intern year, it was very hard, but that's what I expected. Then I started the second year, and just for some reasons in the program, we lost one or two residents, so we probably got a little more work put on us and demands. And the second year wasn't much better than the first, and all of a sudden it started becoming really hard, and I didn't expect that. But again, I was pushing through and trying to make it work and just working really hard, and then my the third year came around, and when that third year came around, I was wasted. I'd been just working so hard for those 2 years, and by October of my third year, I was, I guess what we'd call the day, burnout. I was just had had it with medicine. I was just wasn't having any joy, and this career is not what I thought it would do for me. It's not giving me what I was pursuing with the reward and the contentment with it and the value. And really, I was pretty desperate, and I know Connie, my wife, was right there with me, and I said, you know, Connie, this just is not doing it. You know, I looked at my life, and gosh, I had a wonderful marriage. We were about to have our first child. I couldn't wait for that first child to come. I couldn't wait to be a dad. I had a great career ahead of me. I was in my last year of residency, but still I was miserable, and I was just burnt out. And when I was a Christian then, and John 10:10, when Jesus said he came that he might have life and have it abundantly, that's a verse I'd always pursued. That was a promise that I saw him making for me as a Christian, and I wasn't experiencing that by any means, and I knew that that was truth, but I wasn't experiencing it, and the problem wasn't Jesus. It wasn't God's word. It was me, that there's something going on with me that's preventing me from experiencing this abundant life that Jesus came to give us, to give me. So just in brokenness and just a sweet surrender to him, I just broke down and just said, Lord Jesus, you've came to give me abundant life. I want that more than anything else. You've given me everything, really, I've ever wanted, and it's so empty and not fulfilling or meaningful to me. It's not, look at me, I'm burnt out. So, Lord Jesus, I want you, and I want this abundant life. So please, I surrender everything to you. I think at that point, I was a Christian. I know I was, but even when I decided about going into medicine and becoming a doctor, I thought that was a good thing. God must be for me. Help me, God. Do this. I really didn't say, are you sure? Is that what you want? I just kind of assumed that that was what he was leading me in the way he was leading me. But I wanted him to help me get what I wanted, but I really wanted control. And he showed me that that doesn't work. And so at that point in my brokenness, I realized that I had been holding back complete control of my life. And I gave it all to him. He had about 90% at that point, but man, I gave him as best as I could, 100%. He took it all. And when he did that, there were two things I remember that I really wanted to make a difference, that would be different in my life at that point that I would do. And one was that I would read his word, the Bible, and as best as I could understand it by his grace and spirit, whatever I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to do, I would do it with his grace and power. And then the other thing was that I would start sharing about him, just talking to other people about him. Up to that point, I hadn't really done that a lot. I'd done it some, but not a lot. But as I started following him and that surrender, my relationship with him became so alive and so exciting that it was a thrill to get to share about this amazing Jesus who had changed my life and could change theirs too. So I started doing those. And then I still needed to decide, okay, Lord Jesus, where do I go from here? Just praying about that. You know, I do love the idea of being a doctor. And as through prayer and everything, I felt that him leading. I said, you know, if I could do anything in the world, it would be become a medical missionary. And I never even seriously thought about that at that point before then, because I'd never even met a missionary. And I figured, these are super spiritual people. I could never be like them. There's no way I would be on that level of being a Christian at that good, so to speak. But as I saw God working in my life and working through my brokenness and dependency on him, I realized it wasn't the person that's extraordinary. It's the God that's in them that's leading them to do what he's calling them to do. So that's when that started, that career, that adventure of pursuing God's will with all my heart and letting him guide and direct as we pursued missions after the residency.
So let's move ahead here then. You're thinking about being a medical missionary, realizing that they're not super people, but they serve a super God. Then how does your life change from burnout and brokenness and moving to the medical mission field?
I finished my residency in 1982. Connie was with me. We prayed about this, and we weren't ready to go right away. We didn't know where or when God was calling us. I just had this incredible desire and passion for foreign missions, and so we started exploring opportunities, and there was nothing obvious at that point, but I worked in the emergency room for a year after I finished my residency, and we kept our same simple lifestyle. We knew we needed to get rid of our debt, and we were able to pay off most of our debt during that 1 year. And then as we looked to the future, I went into family medicine. I got my boards in internal medicine, but then I felt like if I'm going overseas, I'd like to get more training in pediatrics and OB and just broaden my experience in training. So I ended up getting in a family medicine program here in Birmingham. It was at East End Hospital then. It's St. Vincent's East now. And got boarded in family medicine and stayed on as faculty during that time and afterwards. So we didn't go overseas till 1989, but from that time, when I felt called in 81 to 1989, we took two short-term trips. One was to Haiti, and the other was to Pakistan, just to explore God's leading and see where, just be seeing what He might be leading and going to these places to minister. And through all this and prayer and just finding each experience, getting better of an idea of what we could do or see ourselves where we would fit in a ministry overseas that was medical, we ended up going to West Africa, to Ivory Coast in 1989 is when we went over. So there were about 8 years from the time I felt called to the time we actually went. But during that time, there was definitely working in the waiting, and God was preparing us and using us. I was learning more about evangelism and discipleship and just growing. Connie was too, just in the Lord. And so it was a great time, but it was so hard to wait because I wanted to go so badly. But it was very clear when it was time to go that we would go with a church planning team and do medical work with church planning over in Ivory Coast in West Africa. And we did. We left in 89, did 16 months of French study in France, and then arrived in Ivory Coast in 1990, and we were there for 10 years.
So now here you are in Ivory Coast, and a new set of challenges, I'm sure, for medical missionary. How was it for your own personal walk with God and well-being during those years?
It was great. I loved being a foreign missionary in Ivory Coast, but it was very hard. You know, we had three kids then, three small kids, and Connie did a great job establishing our home life there. It was very special. And we were on a team. We had two other families with us. That it was wonderful to have other friends that close that were working together. You know, when you go overseas or when you do missions anywhere, you think you're going to do one thing, and then it never goes exactly the way you think it would. And I was going over. We were going to work, do medical clinics, and through the medical work, through the caring among the poor, serving them, that we would bring people into the church through the medical ministry. And so I was looking forward to that. I love medicine and just the way they go together, the medicine and the spiritual, being able to minister to both the physical and the spiritual. So that was the plan, but after 6 months in Ivory Coast, I became pastor of the one church that was there. And so during the 10 years, I was a pastor in three different churches that we were involved in establishing by God's grace. But I did do medical work, too, but my majority of time was more in the pastoral work. But that was fine. I love, you know, sharing the gospel, and it was wonderful, the opportunities we had. We had great experiences with our Christian brothers, African brothers that had become Christians, and they were leaders in our church. And when we go out, and just wonderful going out. We worked in a big city called Abidjan. It's a huge city now. It's probably 4 million people. But we would go out into this poorer areas and just go and do evangelism, just in the marketplace, just wherever. And that was fantastic. But I noticed that the conflict came because of the differences we had in how to establish a church that when the missionary, our goal was to leave eventually, to help the Africans establish these churches. And then, of course, we would leave and leave them in African hands. And we wanted these churches to be very independent, you know, spiritually, of course, but also financially. And because we were dealing with the poor, there were a lot of different ideas as far as the Africans had with how to manage the money and us and the mission behind us that had, in their eyes, so much money that we could help them so much more financially than we really felt was healthy to create a independent church. So there was a lot of conflict in that, and that was what was really hard. You know, in the U.S., before I went over, you know, I'd had this wonderful commitment to the Lord, and I was really excited about Jesus, and, you know, and I was in raising support and all this stuff and discipling, and, I got a lot of approval. A lot of people thought I was doing really well. You know, I was, this sounds horrible, but, you know, they thought I was a good Christian, a committed Christian. I got a lot of respect from them, and I hate to say it, but that really meant a lot to me, and that was really kind of making me prideful in ways I probably wasn't even aware of. But then I get to Ivory Coast, and like I say, the spiritual went great, but there was so much conflict. We had elders in the church, and these were guys that we worked closely with, but we had a lot of conflict, and I was seeing that they didn't like what I was doing. I didn't get the approval because there was such a difference of idea, not with our Christian walk or our faith there, but the way we would want to handle the money, have the church manage the money that came through. So that big difference of opinion, at times they saw us as uncaring, that we didn't care, because we were so stingy with the money. But we felt, and we prayed about it, and it was so good that there were three families there so we could encourage one another, that we felt this is what God wanted. And it was hard because these were all godly men, our African brothers and us, and we're praying about this, but we're coming up with different ideas of how we need to proceed for the healthiness of the church. So it was hard. There's just a lot of conflict, and I didn't like it. For me, what that did, now I realized that my value and worth was no longer dependent on what other people thought of me, that that's not where I was getting my worth or my value or my success. Now, by God's grace, I was able to turn it around in a way that it should be as a child of God, that what is important is my value and worth coming from Jesus, who gave everything for me. It just changed my whole motivation, because I was trying to, we're Christians, we're the mature Christians with our African brothers. We should be showing them what a Christian is like, and they were getting frustrated with us and disappointed in us, and it was very confusing. But as I came with this truth again by the Holy Spirit, I was coming to realize that no, that's not where I get my approval from. That's not my worth and value. It's through Jesus. And as I love Him, everything I do, I want it to be a love offering for Him. And that's all. I don't want it to be something that will make other people like me or make them think I'm a good Christian or an amazing person or an incredible doctor. No. Everything I want to do is as a love offering to Him. And so that just kept me going. From that time on, we've really been able to, I'm talking about Connie too, but that has just changed our lives again in a wonderful way.
And Tom, I know there's much more to your story that God continued to work. And as I've listened to you and gotten to know you personally, I know your work at Hope Health Center in Fairfield, and that's another piece of God's work in your life to unpack. And it might be good for me to invite you back sometime to even share some of that perspective of how God continues to work in your life and through the ministry that He's given you there. And I just, I know he's not done yet. More work to be done. So as we come to closure here, is there anything else you would like to say before we close?
I just think, as a physician, it's just tremendous, whether a missionary overseas or here, that we all in medicine just have a tremendous opportunity to serve. And I love the Gospels and Jesus, just watching Jesus, how He had that perfect balance between the physical healing and the spiritual, and we as physicians have such a privilege the same way. But, the people coming and falling at Jesus' feet, begging, they're desperate for Him, and they have nowhere else to turn. And not only are the patients we see so often like that when we have time to listen to their stories, but we're right there with them. We are just as desperate for Him, clinging to His feet. And when we encounter the living Jesus, we're never the same. And oh, how we want that for the patients that we have come to us too. So it's just a privilege and such an incredible blessing to be a physician and have Jesus to offer our patients, because he's everything.
When you've experienced it yourself, you really want others to experience it as well. And that's That's when it's really meaningful in our conversations with others. So thank you, Tom, for being with us, joining us today. And I'm confident that your story over these last many years of God's work in your life will inspire others to consider the kinds of things that it took for you to grow closer and to have more joy, from submission to learning what to do with conflict and just trusting God's love, His immense love that's greater than you could ever imagine. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
I learned a lot by listening to Dr. Edwards. Learning how burnout and discouragement in residency led to a deeper search for meaning with God and obedience, and then later on the mission field experiencing conflict that drove him to experience the love of God in a deep and meaningful way, more than he had ever experienced before. Life is like that, bringing us opportunities to test our motivation, to test the meaning and purpose of why we do what we do. I'm not sure what your takeaway was, but I encourage you to think deeply about the words that he shared. If you are a healthcare professional serving cross-culturally, it's not too late to register for the upcoming Med Retreat at Alongside. This 10-day program includes plenary sessions, group sessions, and personal counseling if desired, along with plenty of opportunity to unplug, relax, and enjoy Alongside's beautiful campus near Kalamazoo, Michigan. The next Med Retreat is scheduled for July 19 through 29, and one of my friends, Dr. Stan Hagert, will be one of the leaders of that retreat. For more information, visit www.alongsidecares.net, alongsidecares, one word, .net, /medretreat. At the CMDA Center for Wellbeing, we help healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. We offer professional coaching services that help you manage burnout, navigate change or transition, or grow your leadership skills. We also host coach training events that teach you how to help others without giving them advice. For more information, visit cmda.org/wellbeing or email wellbeing@cmda.org. I hope you listen regularly to the Healthy Doctor podcast. And if you like the podcast, please leave a good rating, as it might encourage someone else to subscribe. Thank you for listening to this episode. Tune in again next month, and until then, care for yourself as you care for others.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.